So the reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, and I'm reading verse 11 to 18. Actually, I'm going to read verse 10 to 18. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
If I die suddenly during the sermon, then don't call an ambulance, just give me new batteries, I think. Let's pray. Creator God, who formed humanity from dust, who breathed life into your creation, would you breathe life into us again? Revive us and sanctify us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Reform us, remake us, remold us into your image and the people you long for us to be. And as we unpack your word today, Lord, would you set our hearts on fire with the good news of your gospel. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Touch our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, amen. We're in this Easter season, and we're starting a new series today, and I'm wanting to look at encounters with Jesus, or resurrection people, those people that encountered Jesus as he witnessed to them after his resurrection. So we'll spend some time over the next few weeks looking at various people and how that might be helpful for us today. We've just come through this celebration of Easter, of Resurrection Sunday, when we've celebrated Jesus rising from the dead. And what a glorious time as we look back through the lens of the New Testament. But for those early disciples and women who went down on early Easter morning, it was a different scene for them. So we find this, we find Mary Magdalene, as we read about her, coming down to the tomb with some other women as well, Mary, Jesus' mother, Salome, the mother of James and John were there. So there were quite a few women, and it was their responsibility in those days to balm the body of the dead. And so they come down and they're talking about who's going to roll the stone away, and they find as Mary comes down, the stone is gone. It's been rolled away. And then she looks into the tomb and she sees these two angels. And she's stunned that there's no body. And she sends word to Peter and the disciples that that Jesus' body is not there. And they come running towards the tomb. And some of the translations have that the one that Jesus loved ran first. I love that way. John describes himself as the one who Jesus loved. Runs into the tomb and sees Jesus not there. And they start to believe what's happened. And then they go back, and it's almost as if Mary's left there standing, wondering, and Peter and John have gone back, and they've believed what's happened. And I don't think Mary quite understands. I don't think she quite believes. And so it's almost, you know, when you lose something, and you look in a place and you think, oh, I wonder, it could be there. When I lose my AirPods, which frequently happens, I think, okay, I've left them there, and I go and look, and they're not there. And then I have another look. In Afrikaans, we say a kyk weer, another look, a look again. And you find it because you didn't look properly the first time. And I imagine Mary standing there and looking into the tomb a second time as if to say, I'm sure he was here. He must be here. I'm going to have another look. And she looks again, and she sees Jesus not there, and she turns. When she sees Jesus or the gardener, and she turns to him, and thinking he was the gardener, she says, tell me where they've taken his body, and I will go and get him. And Jesus says one word, one gentle, one soft, reassuring word. He says, Mary. He speaks her name, and she recognizes who Jesus is. Her eyes were clouded by her tears, and her grief was too great to see what was happening in that moment. But Jesus calls her by her name. And I can just imagine what happens is she must have just grabbed hold of him, because the word says that Jesus says to her, do not cling on to me because I still have things to do. And she must have given him a bear hug, and said, yes, he's here, he's here. Probably like some good friends that haven't seen each other in 20 years. And Mary Magdalena's got quite a story, because Jesus, I don't know if you remember the story, Jesus cast out the 7 demons in her. And she got her life back. Her life was restored because of what Jesus done. Some people think that this is the same woman that was caught in adultery when Jesus was speaking to her. But there's no biblical evidence for that. So I'll leave that out for the moment. My friend and mentor, you've heard me say this before, he says, next to each of one of us is a pool of tears. Next to each one of us sits a pool of tears. Next to each one of us is some kind of hurt, some kind of pain, some kind of struggle. Some pools are dirtier, some pools are murkier, some have been caused by ourselves, some have been caused by others. But next to each one of us is some pain or tears that we carry around with us. And Mary is crying. Mary's crying that day. She's standing next to her pool of tears. Jesus had given her life, and the one who had given her life is now gone. He's been taken from her. And perhaps Mary represents some of us today. Perhaps we can resonate and relate to what Mary is experiencing. Because if you've ever stood and have lost something or somebody, then you can relate to how she's standing at the tomb weeping. Perhaps we've lost something or someone that gave us life, and we resonate with this today. And so I want to just very briefly look at 3 very, very significant things that happened for me in this passage today. Firstly, I want you to notice that Jesus asks Mary a question. He asks her a question. Did you notice he doesn't try to fix her? He doesn't say to her, hey, Mary, ta-da, it's me. Put a smile on your face. It's Easter. It'll be okay. This too will pass. No cliches. He doesn't try to fix her or give her some words. He brings Mary a question. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? He invites her to listen deeply to her own pain, to express what she's feeling. He gives her permission to put into words the pain that she's carrying at that time. He gives her the opportunity to find words for her tears. They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him, she says. And I believe Jesus comes to us today and invites us to look at ourselves and asks the same question of us. Why are you crying? What is your struggle? What is your pain? To find words for our tears. I wonder how you would end the sentence if you have a struggle or pain or tears today is, I'm crying because. I'm crying because. What would be your pool of tears today that you carry around with you? Sometimes it's very hard for us to express into words our tears, especially men. I was with somebody yesterday, and I asked him, how are you doing? And he said, I'm sore. He just had some extractions done with his teeth. And he said, but you know, we men have to be brave, don't we? My son wears a shirt, and he says, boys get sad too. But we live in this culture where men are supposed to be these superhuman beings that are not allowed to feel anything, not allowed to express their emotions. And sometimes it's hard to stop and to hear this question in our own pain. Why are you crying? Society tells us that pain is bad, right? We mustn't feel this way. If we feel that way, then we must avoid it or we must push it somewhere else. Pain's not good. But the medical profession, and Dave will hear me out, the medical profession tells us that pain tells us that something's wrong. Pain tells us something is wrong in the body. And so if we're experiencing pain, we go to the doctor and say, I have a pain here, and we look at it. And so society tells us that pain is bad, and so we try and avoid pain at all costs. And we shop more, or we work harder, or we be busy, because if we're busy, then we don't take notice of what we're feeling. We don't have to deal with the pain. And it's into this that Jesus asks us the question, why are you crying? Just stop and ask yourself, what is your pain? What is your struggle? So that's the first thing I think I want to just notice, is that Jesus asks her a question. The second thing that happens is that Mary shares with Jesus what's going on. Mary shares with Jesus. She opens up to Jesus and she says, they've taken my Lord. They've taken the one who gave me life. And as Mary opens up to Jesus, she is giving him access into an area of her life that is very painful, where Jesus' grace and mercy can begin to move. As she talks and shares her pain, she starts to experience this healing with Jesus. When my children were younger, and there was lightning or there was dark or something, they would often say to me, Daddy, I'm scared. Daddy, I'm scared. What are they doing in that moment? They're opening up an experience that they're going through to allow my love and my love for them to enter into that situation. They're giving me access into their life to begin a conversation that wouldn't ordinarily happen, but because they've said, I'm scared, they've given me access into their lives to an experience that they are carrying. And my love can enter into that area and I can hold them and reassure them. And Jesus does the same for us today. Why are you crying? He asks us a question and invites us to begin that so that his love and mercy and grace can enter into our lives. And the conversation begins to move in a direction that it would otherwise not have if Mary didn't share with Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had this, but in relationships when you say, is everything okay? Yes, everything's fine. There was a thing with fine. What is it? Someone said it. Frantic, insecure, neurotic, yeah, whatever. But we say, yes, we're fine. And in those moments, we're holding on to what we're struggling with and feeling, and we don't give access to anybody. But the minute we say, I'm not fine, I'm experiencing this, or I'm going through that, we open up an opportunity for someone to come in and to share that moment with us. And so, the first thing Jesus is, he asks her a question. The second thing is Mary shares with Jesus. The third thing I notice is that Mary is given a ministry out of her tears. Mary is given a ministry out of her tears. Jesus says to her, Mary, why are you crying? And she says, they've taken my Lord and I don't know where they have put him. Jesus invites Mary to tell him what's going on, and he responds with this quiet, gentle, simple word that changes her whole life. And he says, Mary. He knows her. He knows her by name. She has lost her identity. She has lost her purpose because the one who gave her life has gone. And in that moment, in those words that he utters, Mary, he gives her purpose and her identity back. She cries out, Rabboni, which is teacher. She recognizes him. And there is an encounter that takes place because she's opened up to Jesus. She recognizes instantly who Jesus is in those moments as he echoes her name. Mary is the one who then gets the ministry to take the good news back to the disciples. Did you notice that? She's the first one that takes the good news to the disciples. Mary is given a new purpose through her tears. She doesn't have to live in the pain anymore because Jesus has encountered her. That doesn't mean to say she doesn't feel anything. She still feels it. But through Jesus' resurrection, he gives this newness and this new ministry to her. Many times it's though our pain and our tears that cloud our view of God. And we say, where is God? Why is he not working? And our clouded view brings distortion to our circumstances. And so I want to encourage you today to pray into your pain or your struggle, to put words into your tears. And you may ask me the question, well, why do I need to do that? Why do I need to pray to God who already knows all these things? We don't pray to God to give him information. He knows it. We pray to God to give him access. I said just close to Easter Sunday, I don't know if you remember, I don't know if I said here, but the resurrection, the stone rolled away, doesn't let us see Jesus come out. It gives us a view in. It gives us a view in to see what God has done for us. I end with this story. I like the story of a pastor who on Easter Sunday morning was visiting the grave of his parents, and he quietly stood before the headstone. And as he was standing there, he heard music blasting from a car radio, and he said he could hear the bass even before he saw the car. You know, you got some of those here? In South Africa, we say, oh, they're from Germiston or the other side of the railway. Around the road of the cemetery came a car filled with teenagers. They were laughing and shouting, and his first inclination was that they were there simply to create trouble. Surprisingly, however, the car stopped by a grave in the distance. They all got out, and they went over to a particular marker. They stood there quietly, and they all broke out in tears. And then they embraced each other, and then slowly got back into their car and quietly drove away. They came in joy, but they departed in sadness. And the pastor later said, he said, I cannot help but think how that first Easter was different. The youngsters came in joy and they departed in sadness. Whereas on that Easter morning, Mary and the woman came in sadness but departed in joy. The story begins with Mary crying, but the story ends with her living beyond her tears. I believe that's possible for us today as well. So let me ask you, what is your pool of tears? What is your pain or your struggle? Perhaps you'd like your story to end with you living beyond your tears. Can I encourage you to put into words your tears, your pain, and allow an encounter with Jesus to take place as he whispers your name? He knows you by name. He loves you. He went to the cross and to the grave for you so that he can experience what you're going through. So put into words your tears, your pain, and allow the resurrected Jesus by his Spirit to begin a work in you. And I pray that as Mary had that sense of great love that was holding her, so we may this Easter season experience that same love holding and guiding us, that great love and depth that Jesus had for us. That gives us hope amidst our tears. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite us just into a moment of silence as we reflect on that.